Did you know the Holy Spirit can be deeply saddened? I mean intensely saddened. Did you know the Holy Spirit can be deeply saddened by you and by me? I hear people all the time say, God is angry. He's an angry God. He's just mad all the time. As if that's the worst possible thing. Can I tell you from experience? I know my limited mind can't wrap itself around the wrath of God and the anger of God. But if I had to choose between the anger of God and the disappointment of God, I would take the anger every day. We kicked off a series on the Holy Spirit 2 weeks ago. Anybody remember what week one was titled? The Holy Spirit is weird. And if you weren't here for that and that title offends you, go back and watch it, because what we learned at the very beginning was weird doesn't mean what we all thought it means. It means related or connected to the supernatural. And the Holy Spirit is the member of the Godhead moving supernaturally on the earth in the day in which we live. So the Holy Spirit is weird. This week, we're going in a direction that some of you may not see coming. If you've got a Bible, open up to Luke chapter 3. Put a marker in Ephesians chapter 4. We'll start in Luke 3. We'll wrap up in point number 2. And there are only 2 points. We'll wrap up in Ephesians chapter 4. Luke chapter 3 gives us some imagery to help us understand something about the Holy Spirit. And it's very important that we understand this about the Holy Spirit. And it might be something that you were not taught about the Holy Spirit. One of the things I love about the scriptures is it's a gift from God so that we don't have to guess. He teaches us about himself. And Jesus, scripture says, he never taught to the people without a parable. And his disciples asked him, why do you teach in parables? And he essentially said, to make it easy for them. And for you, I give you some of the deeper stuff. But for them, I need them to get it. And so I tell them in stories. Well, from time to time, the way God describes himself in scripture involves imagery to help us understand, because we get pictures. Luke chapter 3 is a moment in Jesus' life where he's being baptized. And there is a verse in this part of Jesus' life that describes the Holy Spirit in a way that we're going to spend our time this weekend talking about. Luke chapter 3, starting in verse 21. One day when the crowds were getting baptized, Jesus himself was baptized. As he was praying, the heavens opened, and the Holy Spirit in bodily form descended on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, you are my dearly loved son, and you bring me great joy. Now, some have kind of taken this passage, and they've taken it so far as they actually kind of believe the Holy Spirit is a dove. Like that's the not just the imagery, but that's actually the physical form of the Holy Spirit. Here's what I would say so that we're all on the same page. The Holy Spirit is not a dove. The Holy Spirit is a personal being, not an impersonal bird. But I want to help you understand what kind of bird the Holy Spirit is like. Like a dove is very important to understand, okay? Have you ever seen a pigeon before? Anybody ever seen a pigeon? All right. You know, most people think that a pigeon is the same thing as a dove, but they're not. I have dove in my yard everywhere. I have no pigeons in my yard. When I go to New York and I go into the park and I sit on the bench, there are pigeons everywhere. No dove. They're not the same thing. Here's the easiest way to understand the difference between a pigeon and a dove. A pigeon is not bothered by humans. They will come up, you can feed them out of your hand. But dove, if you even take a step in their direction, they're gone. You like the sound of that dove, didn't you? That's a hunter right there. I heard that sound a lot. They run from me. Here's the way I would say it. Pigeons are insensitive. Dove are highly sensitive. Let me give you the title of this week's message. The Holy Spirit is sensitive. When I was growing up, I heard many say, we all need to be more sensitive to the Holy Spirit. We're not talking about sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. Here's why. Because you cannot understand sensitivity to the Holy Spirit until you first understand the sensitivity of the Holy Spirit. Two ways the Bible teaches us, shows us that the Holy Spirit is sensitive. So there's only two points. Here's point number one. The first way Scripture teaches us that reveals the sensitivity of the Holy Spirit is this. He can be quenched. The Holy Spirit can be quenched. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19 says, do not quench the Spirit. Now, why would Scripture tell us not to quench the Holy Spirit if quenching the Holy Spirit weren't even possible? Some of you are like, I don't even know what quenching means, Preston. The NIV translates it like this. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Here's the way I would describe quenching the Spirit. A refusal to partner with Him. It's a failure to cooperate. That's quenching the Spirit. And I want to show you three different ways or evidences, because you might be saying, okay, if the Bible says don't quench the Holy Spirit, Preston, I don't want to quench the Holy Spirit, but how do I know if I might be quenching the Holy Spirit? I'm going to give you three evidences. This is not an exhaustive list, but I do think it covers a good picture of what quenching the Holy Spirit looks like. Here's the first thing. Quenching the Holy Spirit, you know you're quenching the Holy Spirit when you don't acknowledge Him. Proverbs 3 verse 6 says, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. Do you remember in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus teaches us just how important being acknowledged is to Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You remember what Jesus says in Matthew 10? He goes, if you will acknowledge me before man, here will be my response. I will acknowledge you before my Father in heaven. But if you don't acknowledge me, I refuse to acknowledge you. Okay, being acknowledged is extremely important to God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But I want to give you a picture of what acknowledging the Holy Spirit is like, all right? Because remember, the Father is where? Seated on the throne. The Son is where? Seated at the Father's right hand. The Holy Spirit is where? There's that sound again. The dove is everywhere. I want to give you a picture, a sweet picture of what it's like. I want you to imagine that your life is like a basketball game. We just started the NBA playoffs. I want you to imagine every day of your life is like a really big game. And the stands are filled. The stands of your life are filled with three different types of people. The great cloud of witnesses, all of heaven. The enemies of God, and the people of earth. The stands of your life are filled, and everybody's watching. Here's what acknowledging the Holy Spirit is like. I want you to get the picture of a little boy or a little girl in pregame warm-ups. The stands are filled, and someone they love is seated in the stands. And they're going through the warm-up line. They're like number four. And everybody else is focusing on the basket and the ball and when I'm going to be next. And here's you looking up into the stands at the one you love going. And you get closer. And then they give you the ball. You go shoot. You go back around. It's time for mid-range jump shots. Well, Preston, that seems a little bit undignified. That's what they're always going to say. Get used to it. I'm either worried about what everyone in the stands is saying about me, or I'm just excited to send the one I love a message in the stands. I'm trying not to be too serious with this message because I'm telling you, when we get to the end of this, you're gonna see why I'm a little bit heavier, because the message does end pretty heavy. But just get that picture of the little boy or little girl just so excited to even notice, acknowledge the one they love in the stands. This is what the Holy Spirit desires. Preston, I want you to acknowledge me in every room you walk into in your heart. But you're quenching me when you don't acknowledge me. It is impossible to partner with the Holy Spirit while simultaneously choosing not to acknowledge the Holy Spirit. Here are the two words I'll teach you that I learned years ago that I believe the Spirit of God loves to hear as it relates to being acknowledged. You're here. You're here. Out of all the places you could be right now, you're in the stands of my game. I'm probably not even going to get to play in this game. And you're here to watch me? 2-3 of the most beautiful words. You are here. It doesn't have to be verbal, but it most certainly needs to be relational. Your supernatural partnership with the Holy Spirit begins with your intentional acknowledgement of the Holy Spirit being right there with you. Here's the second evidence of quenching the Holy Spirit. We choose to do things in our own strength. This message is going to get worse the further we go, I'm just telling you. One of the ways we know we're quenching the Holy Spirit is we do things in our own strength. There are only two ways for a believer to do things in the kingdom: either in your strength or by His Spirit. There is not a third option. Zechariah 4, verse 6, this is what the Lord says to Zerubbabel. It is not by force, nor is it by strength. Well, then what is it by, Lord? It's by my Spirit. And it goes on, the mountain will be leveled before Zerubbabel. I remember when I was a boy and God gave me this passage. Preston, there will be so many mountains in front of you for the rest of your life. And don't you dare get sucked into the ways of the world thinking that the strength of your flesh will be the way you move those mountains. It will not be by force. It will not be by your strength. It will only be by my Spirit. I was a boy. And yet, I'm still guilty of quenching Him from time to time by taking things into my own hands and doing them in my own strength. One of the top narratives, I believe, of the enemy is this right here. You are so weak. You ever heard the enemy say that to you? He says it to every child of God. Want to know why? Because there's something in our flesh that wants to prove how strong we are. Go back to when you were in school and someone said you were weak. What was your response? You wanted to show them. Some of you punched them. I'll show you. This isn't just what Satan does with us. Something else I love about Scripture is God uses the Son to show us how to live. Do you remember what was the play the enemy made when the Holy Spirit led Jesus out to the wilderness to be tempted? What was the play he made? Last time we talked about the play he made in the garden. Now let's talk about the play he made with Jesus in the wilderness. Jesus was fasting for 40 days. He was in a weakened state. What was the move Satan tried to make? He tried to get him to operate in his own strength. If you really are the Son of God, Preston's paraphrase, I know you're weak right now. Just show how much strength you got. Just whip up some bread. You're weak. Show me your strength. Jesus didn't take the bait. And I want to show you, if you won't take the bait, I want to show you the same thing that happened to Jesus, I believe, will happen with you and me if we will refuse to operate in our flesh by our own strength. Watch at the end of the temptation, Luke chapter 4, verse 14. Then, very next verse after the temptation, Jesus didn't take the bait. Then Jesus returned to Galilee. Watch this. Filled with the Holy Spirit's power. There are two ways to do things in the kingdom of God, either in your strength or by his Spirit with his power. When we do things in our own strength, we are quenching the Holy Spirit. If Satan can get you to do things in your own strength, he never has to worry about you doing things with the Holy Spirit's power. Here's the third thing. Evidence that we're quenching the Spirit. And I'm going to do a whole week on this, so please don't expect me to make this exhaustive. Here's the third evidence of quenching the Holy Spirit. We refuse to give his gifts. I'm going to do a whole week on this. I'm just going to talk about the refusal in this subpoint. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, widely known as teaching us that the Holy Spirit is the capital G giver, the giver of spiritual gifts. Let's read parts of two verses, verses 7 and 8. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other or for the profit of all. Verse 8, to one person, the Spirit gives. The Holy Spirit loves to give gifts, his gifts, and he loves to give them through you. We quench the Holy Spirit when we refuse to give the gifts he wants to give through us. Let me try and illustrate it. I want you to imagine that it's your birthday. Let's say it's your 50th birthday. It's a biggie. And your friends, your closest friends, throw you a party. You're not throwing this party for yourself, like most of us probably do at 50. Your friends are throwing this party. And you show up to the party knowing the guest list. And you are so generous that you actually bring a gift for every person at the party. And I'm not talking trinkets. I'm talking big boy, big girl gifts. And you walk in, your friends that are throwing the party are a little bit put off by what's going on, but they don't say anything. And then you start walking around to people at your own birthday party who came to bring you gifts. You start walking around going, hey, I want to give her a gift. Would you go give it to her for me? And he comes over here and says, hey, I'd like to give him a gift. Would you go give this gift to him? And you start walking around to everybody at the party giving gifts to them to give to everybody else. And your friends who are throwing the party come up to you and go, hey, what's going on? This is the weirdest thing I've ever seen. Like, nobody gives gifts at their own birthday party. You're freaking people out. This is not that kind of party. You need to just sit in the chair and let us bring the gifts we have come to bring you. Church, from a weekend context, is a kingdom party Christ followers throw every week where the most honored guest in the room is meant to be the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the giver of gifts, but his favorite way to give his gifts to others is to give them through you. Here's what I think the Holy Spirit says. When he asks us, hey, will you go give this gift to someone else? And we refuse to do so. I wonder if he doesn't just say, Preston, how can I be wanted as the giver of gifts when my gifts are unwanted? How can I be welcome as the giver if my gifts are unwelcome? I know for some of us, this conversation freaks us out. We're going to spend a whole week on this, all right? So let your blood pressure go down. This is one of the biggest ways we quench the Holy Spirit. Hey, would you go to that single mom in aisle 4? Would you give her this word? No, I will not. She's going to think I'm weird. Right. That's my point. Well, no. I mean, Holy Spirit, she's going to think I'm like odd in an unlikable way. Not by the end of the word, she's not. Because it's not from you, it's from me. No, I don't want to. Satan's goal, you know, we talked about 2 weeks ago, building a boundary for the fire. Satan's goal is not for us to build a boundary for the fire. It's for us to put out the fire. Sorry. Can I get some water? My throat's really dry. Here's the second point. When Scripture teaches us about the sensitivity of the Holy Spirit, the second thing Scripture teaches us is the Holy Spirit can be grieved. Thank you so much. Sorry. I came up here last night. I was so excited to read through the book of Mark. And I probably read a little bit too much this week, and my voice is a little bit dried out. So if I cough, please, I'll try and cover it. The Holy Spirit can be grieved. Let me read it to you, and then I'm going to paint the picture for you. Ephesians 4, verse 30, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God." Again, if the Holy Spirit couldn't be grieved, why would Scripture tell us not to? Did you know the Holy Spirit can be deeply saddened? I mean intensely saddened. Did you know the Holy Spirit can be deeply saddened by you and by me? I hear people all the time say, God is angry. He's an angry God. He's just mad all the time. As if that's the worst possible thing. Can I tell you from experience? I know my limited mind can't wrap itself around the wrath of God and the anger of God. But if I had to choose between the anger of God and the disappointment of God, I would take the anger every day. When I was young, I didn't understand this was a possibility. See, when I was growing up, the conversation was about, "Be ye holy as he is holy, and he will smite thee if you don't get your act together." So there was a fear thing. Do the right thing because he's going to be angry if you don't. No, it's way worse than that. I have deeply saddened him throughout my life. I have seen a look on his face that, in my opinion, makes the look Jesus gave Peter that night pale by comparison. At least that's how it landed on me. I wish he yelled at us to get us to repent. It's way worse than that. It is his kindness that leads us to repentance. And in his kindness, I find his disappointment. Being disappointed in us creates a sting being angry with us will never, ever create. Well, Preston, how do we grieve the Holy Spirit? I believe scripture basically gives us two buckets. There are lots of ways to fill these buckets, but essentially two categories. I'm going to go out of order. If you put a marker in Ephesians 4, flip over there. We're going to read three verses and then we'll wrap up. Instead of reading, I read you verse 30 already. Instead of going to verse 31, I'm going to skip 31 and go to 32, and then we're going to end with 31. Here's the first thing that I'll tell you, the first way we can grieve the Holy Spirit, by not doing what we should. Look at verse 32. Instead, so verse 31 is about what we shouldn't do. Verse 32 is about what we should do. Instead, be kind to each other. Now remember, this passage is about grieving the Holy Spirit. And the very next verse is, Preston, don't do these things. These bad things grieve the Holy Spirit. Then the next verse is, but do these things. Here's the other side of the coin. One of the ways to grieve the Holy Spirit is by not doing what we should. And I'm not going to hit the list in verse 32, but it says, instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. This is where this message gets a little bit heavy. But I don't believe in a bad way, just in a convicting way. This week, as I was preparing for this, I felt the Holy Spirit say, Preston, I want to give you a picture of what it's like when I'm grieved because you don't do something I wanted you to do or I asked you to do. I want to paint the picture for you. And I said, okay. What's the picture? And he said, it's like Maxon. When he asks at nighttime, every night, literally every night, Preston, of your life, he asks for the same thing. Daddy, can we have a story time? If you don't know, Maxon is our 5-year-old. That we've been fostering for the last 2 years and going through the adoption process now. For quite some time, no exaggeration, every night. I'm not gonna lie, I tell fairly decent stories. Maybe a little too good for a 5-year-old. Daddy, can we have story time, please? And the Holy Spirit goes, I want you to get a picture of what it's like when I'm grieved, when you don't do something I ask you to do. It's like Maxon when you tell him no. He doesn't scream at you and throw a fit. He says, okay, and sadly goes to his bed. And I mean, I lost it. I mean, it's been a busy run, you know. Got a lot going on. By the time I get to the end of my day, Lord, I don't always have the energy. And so I just say to him, not tonight, buddy. I'm going to go to bed. And one night turns into two, and two turns into five, and five turns into 10. He goes, Preston, he doesn't throw a fit. He just falls asleep sad. And that's what it's like for me. Every time you don't do something I wish you would do. If you want me to lie to you and just make stuff up, I'm not your guy. If coming to church, you just want to be encouraged all the time, I want you to be filled with courage. But I also want you to know the truth. One of the ways we grieve the Holy Spirit is not doing what we should do. This just gets worse. this week as I was studying, I felt the Lord go, Preston, the bar keeps getting lower with every generation in my house. How much lower will the bar be three generations from now if it keeps up this pace? And the bar isn't lowered by doing what you shouldn't do. The bar starts being lowered by not doing what you know to do. That brings us to the last subpoint. For those of you who just want this whole thing to be over with quickly, we're almost done. The other way we grieve the Holy Spirit is by doing what we shouldn't. This is Ephesians 4, verse 31. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Very next words. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. You're not ready for this. This was excruciating this week. As I read this verse, I felt the Holy Spirit say, and I'm just going to kind of give you the tone that I felt that I heard it. I felt the Holy Spirit say, huh, that's a list that sounds familiar. That's all I felt the Holy Spirit say. So I start studying out each word biblically. Let me just walk you through what these words mean or represent. Bitterness. What is bitterness? Well, bitterness is what happens when somebody does something you don't like. So you harbor ill will against them in a way which poisons you, not them. Next up, rage. What is rage? Rage is the explosion on the outside of the feelings on the inside. Next up is anger. What is anger? A strong feeling of annoyance with someone or something. Incidentally, each of these deeply grieve the Holy Spirit. Next up, harsh words. What are harsh words? Intentionally strong words meant to intentionally hurt the person they are spoken to. Harsh words grieve the Holy Spirit. Next up, slander. What is slander? Harsh words spoken about a person when not around the person meant to destroy that person. As I'm done studying the list, that I felt almost sarcastically the Holy Spirit go, it's like I've seen that list before. I get done studying the list, and here's what I feel like the Holy Spirit said. Preston, this list describes what my church looked like during COVID. But if you feel like I'm coming at anybody, let me show you why I think it's important to understand why that's what we look like. Do you remember what the prophet Joel prophesied about the last days that was repeated in Acts 2, that day when the Holy Spirit fell? When everyone was saying, they're drunk. Do you remember the words which were quoted from Scripture? The words of the prophet Joel about what things would look like in the last days. Let me read it to you. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit upon all people. Is it possible? I'm not going to try and drum anything up. Is it possible that we are nearing the second coming of Jesus at a fairly quick speed? Anybody happen to watch 350 or so projectiles aimed in the direction of a tiny piece of dirt? A piece of dirt so small, no one on the earth should even care about it. And yet everyone does. Why do they? Because he put his name on it. And he said, they will come at the dirt that I put my name on. And that will be part of the showdown before my return. You know what else will be? What Joel 2 prophesied. In the last days, I will pour out my Holy Spirit. Pour out my Holy Spirit upon all man. You know why it's important to understand the list of our behaviors during COVID? Because we know, we saw it online. I saw things in the church I have never seen in my lifetime. Never thought I would. People leave the church because they couldn't even sit next to somebody who took a different position than them. I have never in my life seen that before. And it wasn't until this week that I felt I got a little bit of an understanding why it went down like that. Why was there so much bitterness during COVID? Why was there so much rage in the house of God? Why was there so much anger? Why were there so many harsh words? Why was there so much slander about this church and that church and these people and those people? I get it now. Because the Holy Spirit is being poured out on the earth. And Satan knows the Word of God well. He knows exactly what grieves the Holy Spirit. And so he went to work trying to get everybody in the house of God to do the very things that grieve the Holy Spirit most. And we just thought we were stressed out. No, we were being played. It was a trick. You're going to lose your job. You're going to lose all of your retirement. You need to get upset about it. You need to go after somebody. Who should I go after? Go after people who you think won't fight back at you. So we started warring with one another. And here's where my immature self got it wrong. My problem was what we were doing to one another. And it wasn't until this week that I realized that wasn't the biggest problem. The biggest problem is how we were grieving him. Here was the picture I felt the Holy Spirit give me for this weekend. Scripture says that every believer in Jesus, every child of God, is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. That your body is actually like the Temple of Solomon. House the presence of the Lord. And it was so beautiful and ornate and extravagant and expensive. It was wonderful to behold. But the Bible says that your body is an even more wonderful temple for the Spirit of God than that was. And here was the picture I felt like he gave me. And I'll start it with me. And I'll just let you wrestle with the Holy Spirit with however it lands on you from him. Preston, I'm on the move. But my house is a little dirty. And he was talking about me. And you. I started crying. What do I do? Do what David did when his house was dirty. Repent and acknowledge me simply by saying, please don't take your Holy Spirit away from me. My temple is dirty. I'm like a 5-year-old. Who just wanted a daddy to love him. And show him he loved him by telling him a story every night. 5-year-old being told no, so is the Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside of me, grieved and saddened by me. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? It got so heavy this week for me that I said to the Holy Spirit, why is this landing on me like this? I feel like uber sensitive to this. And I felt the Holy Spirit say, Preston, life is like a kindergarten classroom. And when you're truly sensitive, you are most sensitive to the most sensitive one in the classroom. Preston, I am the most sensitive one in every room you will ever walk into. So I just want to take a couple of minutes to give space for you to be alone with the Spirit of God. Maybe you need to repent. For several times this last couple months, when the Holy Spirit said, would you go give a gift? And you said, no, I refuse. He's not angry, but he is saddened. Just repent. Maybe you need to repent for doing something repeatedly that you knew you shouldn't have done. Don't keep anesthetizing with it. Repent of it. Get a picture of the sadness on his face, not the anger, the sadness. And repent. Repent wherever we need to. But then, like David, may every child of God in this room, before they leave this room tonight, in their own way, send a message to the Spirit of God the same way David did, after he realized what he had done was wrong. He acknowledged the Holy Spirit, and he acknowledged he did not want to live without him. Would you just take a few moments? Just do what needs to be done. Holy Spirit, would you break our hearts for whatever breaks yours?
Holy Spirit.
Would you help us be exponentially more disgusted with your sadness than we ever are by our sin? Holy Spirit, whatever the most disgusted I have ever been by my sin, whatever that looks like, I want to be immeasurably more bothered by your sadness than I am even by my sin. Jesus, you are coming back for a spotless bride, and we don't clean ourselves up. That's what the blood does. But the bride must stay under the flow of blood, the blood of Jesus, and the oil of the Spirit. Holy Spirit, help us. Help me. Holy Spirit, thank you for never running. You will never leave us or forsake us, ever. You don't run away from us in anger, but you do back away from us in sadness. Holy Spirit, I don't just pray this for our church, I pray it for your church. Oh, Jesus. May the bride get a revelation of who your Holy Spirit is. So that we might take our place, partner with him, in order to see your return, Jesus. Holy Spirit, would you give us a measure of your power to begin to do the things we know we need to do? And would you give us a measure of your power to no longer do the things we know we should not be doing? And when we do, may there be more room in our hearts and lives for you, Holy Spirit, to run rampant using us on the earth today. In Jesus' name, amen.